to Pradeep Jha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm grateful to God and the leadership of this church for this privilege and opportunity, also picking me up as one of the missionaries. It's a humble experience, and more than anything, it's a heaviest trust that you guys have put. And every time when I hear from Jim that we are praying, that pushes us further. So we are so grateful at Tabernacle Ministries. We are growing, and we have a slogan, growing and causing growth. And that's what we do. And several months ago, I was invited to speak this morning, and I was praying. And actually, when I got your text, I was with my leaders, core team, and I was discussing. I said, hey, here's the text, what to do. And my leader said, you got so much to say. And so I prayed, and I got this text that is a text for today about Mission Possible. But that puts me in a trouble, actually, especially in North American context, you know. When you talk about a mission possible that is written in a Bible and something that is said by Jesus 2,000 years ago, so we would have paused. Wait a minute. Is it possible? Is it even relevant to us? And I'm going to dig out a little bit that yes, mission is possible. And it is possible today. And it is possible. It should have been completed long, long ago. If still we are talking about mission possible in 21st century, in one way, as a church, as a global body of Christ, it is our slowness and laziness that mission has not been completed. It's not been said. It's been possible. So still we are talking about mission possible. You are maybe sitting over here and you have been Christian for generations and generations. But the part of the world that I represent is still, people are waiting to hear about Jesus for last 2,000 years ago when this message was first available after the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Still, people don't know who is Jesus and what his name and if it is anything other than a savior. So I come from there. And whenever we go to a new village, we share the gospel. They have heard it for first time and they will be sharing with others. And then we cannot stay there because we go to next village because they are waiting as well. So that's a concept that we have about church. We have about the gospel. You might have heard about that for the last few decades, there is a concept in the missional world about 1040 windows. We come from the epicenter of that 1040 windows, and 66,000 people die every day without Christ, and they die for eternity, separated eternity from God. So I'm talking the mission is possible, yes, because Jesus would not give us anything that is impossible. He would not give us anything that is not possible through him. So it is possible. He already gave us a mandate and command, a strategy to make disciples and equip leaders and train next generations to carry on the work of the church. That is called Great Commission. So mission is possible when churches are fulfilling the Lord's desire for all nations to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, mission is possible when churches like yours, reaching your own community with life-changing gospel, and you're partnering with ministries like Tabernacle Ministries and others in other parts of the world. Yes, mission is possible. Therefore, that brings me to our text today, John 14, verses 12 through 14. Here we see very powerful statement from Jesus. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So here's a very clear indication that we can do much more than we think we can do. But the condition is, if we believe in him. I think that's a hurdle we need to cross, we need to pass by. And when Jesus is saying that, he's so intentional, he's saying truly, truly, he's putting all the stress, all the emphasis on it, that it is possible. And I struggled with this text for many, many years. I said, Jesus, either you are weaker than us or you are lying. Because how can we do much greater work than you have done? And then I realized when Jesus is talking about it, he's a human being. He was 100% human. And many times we glorify him, we praise him as a, you are a God, but sometimes we underestimate of his human being. But his Bible tells us that he was 100% human. And when he was a human, he was limited. And he knew that his mission work has a limitation of time. He had only a little over 3 years of time. And he knew that his disciples, and today us, will have much more time. And he knew that he can, as a human being, he will be only in certain places. He cannot go much further. But he knew the salvation that he is bringing to the people needs to go to the another part of the world. And that is something greater work. And many times we misinterpret this verse. And many times it is under-explained. But I think when Jesus talked about greater works, he talked about the expanded vision that we should have. Expanded vision. And how can we do that? When we are doing a greater work in kingdom, it's not a different work than Jesus did. We are not competing with his work, but we are completing his work that he started when he was on this earth. So it's not a greater work in a value or in a quality, but it is a greater work in a quantity that we must do. And I think even in 21st century, churches are far behind in that quantity. So we see that it was not a miracle that Jesus said that you will do greater. He said that you will do a greater work. And many times we misinterpret it. But let me tell you, I believe that Jesus talked about the greater works in a quantity, in a reaching out the people. And he didn't mean about miracles. But for an example, for instance, if we take it as a miracle, and I see we do a greater miracles than Jesus did. The greatest miracle that we read and we get amazed by is, he raised few people out of dead. But you remember, those people died again. But when you and I share the gospel, when we whisper the spiritual truth and the gospel in someone's ear, they are raised from the spiritual death. And that resurrection is far more better than physical death. Those people who raised from the dead physically died again, but those people we share the gospel who will be raised from the dead spiritually, they will never die again. So we don't see it many times. We take it so lightly and so we take it for granted. But I'm just encouraging you this morning. When we share the gospel to someone, we are causing and injecting eternity in their life. We are humble that we are not source of that eternity. But we are so, so encouraged that we are an useful vessel in God's kingdom. That because of you, someone gets to the heaven. Because of you, someone gets saved. So that's what we do. So every time we share the gospel, we are helping someone to get out of the death that they are going to experience in future. And they are running on that highway to hell. But we are the one, we pause them, we say, hey, you have a chance. And many of them take a U-turn. And they are, humanly speaking, they are so grateful to you and us. Isn't that amazing? I was talking the other night that how far can you push someone in doing good things? This earth is round. If you push someone, the farthest you can go is Nepal. If you push them more, you will end up coming back to U.S. Right? So I always, whenever I travel, I'm so grateful to the pilots, whoever he or she is. They land on time. Otherwise, if they don't land, I may end up again in my own country. So, but when we push someone upwards, we push upward and they get to heaven. It looks so easy to share the gospel and make a gospel in eternity possible for the people at no cost because Jesus has paid all the cost. And sometimes because we don't pay anything for this, we take it so lightly. So please don't. We have a greatest message. And this message of salvation is not a better than other messages. This is not the best messages on this planet. This is the only message for people to get saved. So think about that. If you hold this message to yourself, maybe we are the reason for holding it and slowing it down. The message that we have is the only message that everyone on this planet should and must hear. And in my version, I say that many times we hear that we need to give them a chance to accept God. I would say we need to give them a chance to reject God at least. So they are responsible for their decisions. But we are responsible to bring this to them. So that's what we need to do. And that's what the part of the greater works that Jesus was talking about. And that's what we do at Tabernacle Ministries when we do our outreach. We do our aggressive evangelism. We go village to village. We share one-to-one. And I call it, we use as many hooks as possible. And we intentionally, we disciple them in a small group so they are rooted and founded in God's love. And we equip leaders and we produce them and send them into a mission field. And we do it day and night. We do it every day. And that's our normal routine in our life. So that's why we all need to have an expanded vision of what Jesus is talking about, greater work. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about the missions committee. I'm talking about every individual that is listening to me this morning. It is everyone's responsibility. I don't think Jesus talked to any organization or any group. He talked to his disciples, and he's talking to us today. And it is our responsibility. We need those missions team. We need a church to execute our plan, but we need to have that vision in each one of us. And that is possible because here it looks like Jesus is asking us to do, and it looks like overwhelming work and burdensome work that we cannot carry. But further, he says that whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. And that relieved me a lot when I got it. Because Jesus is asking us to join, actually. He's not leaving us with this heavysome burden to go and I'm not going. Actually, he is asking us to join him, get on board with him in the saving work of this world. So Jesus is actually himself doing it. And we know, we are so thankful to Jesus that he chose to go back to the Father so he can come back as omnipresent, as almighty. And today we know through the Holy Spirit he is with us. And for that he had to go back. And we are so grateful. But he is not done yet. He is not done with us. He is not done with all the lost people. He is still at work and he is working in and through us. Honestly speaking, many times I think if Jesus did any mistake in his life, that was he entrusted this only message to us. When I see the laziness of the churches, slowness of the churches to reach out, and holding a different belief system and doctrines that relieves them from their responsibility really grieves me. But I know he didn't do any mistake. He never does that. He's a perfect God. He's not done with us. So if we are ready, he is always ready. If we say yes, Jesus is always yes. And so we have this explicit promise from Jesus that whatever you will ask in this endeavor, I will do it for you. And he will do it for us. So we know if we'll ask something by according to God's will, according to God's word in prayer, he will do it for us. And I'm a living example. The community that I represent, the Maithili speaking people, and the caste system that I come from, the highest priestly caste, one person to be saved is a miracle. It's a literal miracle. And I saw that if I can be saved, then anyone can be saved. And right now, after being there in the mission field for more than 19 years, now I see the people are coming to Christ like a mushrooming. And every time when I lead, every time I hear that people have come to Christ, I say, God, it's not possible. So Jesus himself is making it possible. When illiterate people come to Christ and their trust is like so much more than what I believe, their faith looks like a much more stronger than I have, I get amazed and I thank God. God, it must be you. You are doing. So church, this morning I would like to encourage you, when we say yes and we are part of it, we are on board, actually Jesus is the one who is doing. He is doing in us and he is doing through us. And there is a much more better and powerful reason and purpose for this. And I think that is something you will love. In verse 13, Jesus says that the Father may be glorified in Son. And I would like to have one look from Genesis to Revelation. We see that God is ready to give anything but glory. We see that God is God of wrath. He's not ready to share his glory. He's ready to give away his only begotten Son, but he's not ready to share his glory. We see that why it was so powerful for Jesus to be a human being that he left the glory. We read it in Philippians chapter 2. He didn't count it. But when he was about to go back to heaven, he was ready to be crucified. He shares with his intimate disciples that I will get that glory again. Now my Father will give me that glory. So that is something that's so important for God. And when Jesus was on this earth, he indicated that whatever I'm doing, I'm fulfilling God's will, I'm glorifying him in this earth. We see Jesus worded differently many times. He said, my work is to fulfill God's will. And so he may be glorified. I want to be obedient to God, the Father, so he may be glorified. Even it was too much for him. He said, I want it to be, this cup to be moved away, but still not my will, but your will, because I still want to glorify you. And you see what God said, God the Father, about Jesus? This is the man I love. This is a son. He is my son that I'm pleased with, because of he glorifies me all the time. So Jesus on this earth, always he glorified, and he got the name and the glory he shared with God the Father. He never lost it. Now, today, we all are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Think about it. If Jesus would do whatever God wants him to do, and he's glorified and he's pleased, how much more he will be pleased with us if we do what he wants us to do, if we do according to his will, if we are obedient, if we consider to be obedient, consider that is our food, that is our main work, that to fulfill God's will. How much more he will be pleased, and how much more glory we will bring to him. And when he is pleased, He is glorified, then he is ready to promise us anything, to do anything for us. And you know, whenever God works, that's a miracle in our life. Isn't that amazing? And that is possible with everyone sitting in this hall, in this church room today. This is possible. Actually, God is longing for us to be obedient to his call. God is longing to be glorified in and through our life. And Jesus did it perfectly. We can do it much better than what we do today, honestly. Isn't that true? And that's an exalted purpose we have. And I don't know what level of purpose you have in your life, but I know this exalted purpose to glorify God in and through our life is way much above and beyond than any purpose that any humankind, any human being can put on. So this is God's purpose in our life, and he is ready to give us. And as I mentioned earlier, this is so important for us to go ahead and share the gospel and win the souls for Christ, because of there is a greater need. I've mentioned earlier how thousands of people are dying every day without Christ, not getting a chance to accept or reject God. Isn't that our responsibility to bring it to them at least once? If they don't get it, isn't that selfishness in one way for churches, that we are existing here for hundreds and thousands of years and our neighbors are still unheard of? I can't understand that. You know, every time I go to a Hindu cremation place, sometimes I go over there and I look at that someone is being burned, someone is about to be finished, and I see those dead bodies. And I look at the dead bodies that they turn into ashes. Say, that's the value of their life. There's nothing much more. And I ponder and I think about that. And I say, hey, I can't do this anything to the person who died. Then I see that there are several people. Many people from family and immediate relatives are there. They are crying of the loss. And then there are other well-wishers from the work, from the families, from community, and like a one dead body is surrounded by 50 or 100 people or hundreds of people. And then I get excited that I can't do anything to the person who just died, but I still have an opportunity to share the gospel with these people who are crying, who are feeling the loss, and that is a place where they think about their value of their life. Doesn't matter how successful they are in their career and their profession and their life. They see that this is my end. So I get excited. And that's why I said, Lord, why didn't I believe in you long before I did? Lord, why didn't I commit myself to serve you long before I did? Why I'm not doing much more than what I'm doing now? But as one person, I can do only so much. So I bring more people, I keep more people, and they do it. And everything we do, always we do with the effect of multiplication, effect of reproducing factor in their life. On this trip, I'm here for, it's been just a week. Last Saturday, I flew in. As I was on the way, in the layover in Seoul, Korea, I heard that more than 100 people are being evangelized and 7 people gave their life to the Lord. That was so satisfying. Within this week, as I'm here, 3 different church planting training has been completed. And they are working really hard. I was up this morning, early morning, and I prayed, and then I checked my phone about the time, and I saw one message. And one of our church planters, he puts one picture, and he says, in our pastor's group, please pray for this family. This family lost a teenager girl who committed suicide by hanging herself a couple of days ago, and the whole family is desperate. And so one of our leaders is a relative to this family. So he goes with other leader and shares the gospel, and about 5 hours ago, 6 people in that family got saved. And as I'm here speaking to you guys, so in my breakouts, I pull that picture. So that's what's happening. It's working. In the middle week, one of our pastors got a Macedonian call. One young couple who had a new baby, 1 month old, but unfortunate thing is in our culture, the baby girl is not liked. They are killed. They are aborted. Somehow they get birth, they are thrown. So this baby was baby girl, so her family abandoned her. And she was like a starving to death. She could not walk, and baby was on a other milk, a powder milk. And they come from very poor family. So I was on the way to the airport the last Friday. I got this call from one of my pastors. I said, go with some relief things and some money and go and share the gospel and just take care of him. And a few hours later, he goes there and he shares the gospel. Whole community came, were more than 30 people there. Why? This own family rejected, but this guy, a stranger person, someone, comes and helps this family with all the reliefs and some money. But more than that, he had a gospel. So he shared the gospel with about 30 people. This couple right away gave their life to the Lord. And, you know, it's not two people giving their life. It's like a church is being started. When Jesus says, when two or more are gathered together in my name, I will be with them. I found the truth that we need only one person because we are the one. So when one person gets saved, technically, biblically, practically, we can start a church. That may not be a church, a full establishment, but we can start a fellowship. So we had that new church planted because of one couple, because of the community didn't like this baby girl, and we are taking care of that. So we represent that part of the world. And God is at work, and he is doing so much work. Therefore, there is a much more need, greater need, and we have a great salvation, which is the only message, only saving message to this world. So when Jesus is sending, or he's asking, or he's helping us to go, mission is possible. It is possible despite of the persecution. It looks like for us that we have married to a persecution because it's always there. Or persecution is one of our siblings. It's always there. But let me tell you, it's hard to face any persecution. But all the persecution so far have resulted to more conversion or few more church plants. All the persecution when someone, about 3 years ago, one of my spiritual sons, he got kicked out of the house because he believed. And I baptized him, and a few days later he was kicked out. So I went to him because I was kicked out. So I exactly felt what it means. So I brought him to my house, and he was sharp, very analytical in his mind. So I said, I will disciple him myself. So he was in my house. He was growing. And after a year or so, he comes to me one morning. He said, Brother Pradeep, I cannot sit over here and eat and learn more. I think I have enough knowledge of the Lord that I cannot keep it to myself. There is a fire burning in my heart. So I'm ready to go in the mission field. Send me out. I said, well, then if you are fired up, I will send you more fiery place, where most persecution takes place. So last year, February, I sent him one of the places. He started a church. And church was established within a month. Then he started another church. He started third church. And last month, he started fourth church. And he is barely 3 years old believer. And he is one of our fiery evangelists and church planter. And he goes there. So why I'm telling you this story is Jesus is working in and through this guy. He doesn't know whole Bible. He doesn't know whole doctrine, but he's being used. And to be used by God, our age factor, our education, our training doesn't matter. It's a matter of the call and the response to that call by us. If they are aligned together, God can do much more in and through us and each one of us here. This God, mission is possible despite of the devil's attack against us. We face lots of attacks in our part of the world. I don't know how strange it may sound to you, but people are demonic possession. We pray in the name of Jesus and they get delivered. Within last 1 month, I have delivered 4 people, and 3 of them were just ladies. So let me tell you this story. In March 19th, we had a general conference and we brought all of our believers. And in that conference, one woman came from one new village. And she was demonic possessed. So we prayed for her and she was delivered. And her young daughter, she was amazed and she gave her life to the Lord as well. So this mother and daughter, they go back to home and she is so normal. She is not mentally ill. She does everything. So 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, all the neighbors observed them and then they asked the question, what happened? And they were able to share how Jesus delivered them. So soon, few people started to come in a fellowship. And this young girl is leading that fellowship day by day, every day. And one of our pastors goes every weekend to do that. And it was March, and now we have more than 15 people. So this community comes from the lowest of the low caste. So, and some of them came and spoke against Christianity. And they said, oh, this is a low caste thing. So this young girl said, no. Our senior pastor is from the highest caste. And they said, I don't believe. I want to hear and see. So they're being prepared. So as I go after my trip, I'm going there. And please pray. I'm hearing the whole village is ready to listen to me. And I'm depending on Holy Spirit that he will move the hearts. And I may be able to send some message, some text message of Brother Jim that how many people have come to Christ. Man, isn't that amazing? Until March, it was completely barren land. But because of that demonic possession, we have a church over there. I'm not speaking theologically, but practically I'm telling you, even Satan and devils, demons, they are helping us to plant church. And here's the thing I think. They do everything and anything to attack human, attack the churches and Christians. But God is so powerful, so merciful, so gracious that he intervenes somewhere and people get saved. And that's where Satan gets confused. And he thinks, what did I do? When did I do anything wrong? What happened? Everything was going well, but in one moment, because of the name and cross and blood of Jesus, that we have the authority. That Jesus says, all authority is given to me and now I'm giving to you. I'm sending you with this authority. And that's where the difference takes place. That's where miracle takes place in the life of the people. So that's what we are doing. So despite of these things and despite of all the needs and medical issues that our people face, we are seeing the mission is possible. As a movement leader, I see I lead more than 30 pastors and leaders, and most of them, they don't know how their next meal will come. I'm honestly telling you. And they come and they share. And I struggle. I pray and I work hard. How can I do something to provide for them? But none of them comes to me and says, enough. I'm leaving ministry because of I'm not getting anything. We are starving. They don't. So it is God who has called, and it is God's calling that they have responded. So they are ready to struggle, and kingdom is growing, and mission is possible in that starving situation, and that situation where they don't even have food, or when they have medical issues, they don't know. They don't go to the hospital because they don't have money. But still, they share the gospel. Man, so this is what's happening. So because somehow all these things work for his glory, even Satan's attack and all the needs and even all kinds of persecution, they work together for the advancement of God's kingdom. But at the end, it is possible that mission won't be possible if we don't adjust our thinking in our ways, according to current pressing needs. It is possible. If earlier I said that I feel so bad that we are in 21st century as a church, but still our neighbors and some countries, some people group, almost 7,000 people group are still unheard, unreached. And I hate that prefix, UN. In my lifetime, I say, Lord, I want to get rid of this so it will be reached. So it is because of the church and slowness of the church. And even today, I want to encourage you and also challenge you. This 7,000 people group will be unreached for next several generations if we don't change our mindset, our thinking, and our ways to address these current pressing needs. So let's think about it, every individual, as Pastor Paul comes and leads us in prayer. God bless you. Thank you.
Excellent job. Thank you very much.